Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I have a plan for you. It's a plan that's not evil. It's a plan for your welfare, to bring you a blessing, to bring you hope. God has a plan for you. Stop living on everybody else's agenda and find out what his plan is for you. Well, it's time to wish you a Happy New Year. This is Tony Evans with the Urban Alternative, and we hope that this upcoming year will exceed the best things that happened to you in the preceding year. We want God to give you his very best in every area of your life. And to encourage that, we want to talk to you today about finishing strong. You know, when you leave one year and go into another year, that's another year of life. And that means you're closer to eternity, which means you want to make every day, month, year count. And so we want you to finish strong. I want to finish strong. And so we're going to challenge you from the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4 to do just that. Don't finish weak. You want to kick in the gear this year and blow it out for good and for God. Let's go to God's word to find out what finishing strong feels like and looks like. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul the Apostle is writing his final words to his son in the ministry, Timothy. He wants him to have some things to reflect on as Paul is about to die. Paul is sitting in a dungeon awaiting execution. He's about to be beheaded. His head is about to be removed from his body. And he writes one of these final epistles, 2 Timothy, to the one he will leave behind in his place, the one who he refers to regularly as his son, son in ministry. His basic word to Timothy is found at the end of verse 5 where he says, fulfill your ministry. That is, complete what you got started. And then he goes into a statement of his own obituary. He actually sort of writes his own final words on his own tombstone. You know, you can find a lot about a person when it's time for them to die. Because usually they don't have to fake it anymore. There are no facades to keep up. There's nothing that they have to show because there are no notches to make. Paul is awaiting execution, and here are his final words, which I think are good words as we close out one year and into another. He says in verse 6, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. Listen to that again. I have already been poured out as a drink offering. That's an Old Testament offering that was offered to God where the libation was poured out on the altar and it burned and became smoke and went upwards as a sort of steam. And he says, just like the drink offerings in the Old Testament were poured out on the altar, I am about to be poured out. But the key to know about Paul's statement, I'm a drink offering, is that a drink offering was a sacrifice. Guess what he's saying? He's saying, I'm going to do in death what I did in life, sacrifice. You know, it was Paul who said in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself as a living sacrifice. In other words, he says, while you're alive, live a sacrificial life. He comes to his obituary and said, and I'm going to die like I lived. I'm going to pour it out.
He says, I'm going to be a drink offering. Look at verse 13. He says, when you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas. In other words, I'm cold. It's in this dungeon, and this dungeon is isolated, and it's cold in here. So when you come visit me on the next visitation, when they let you into prison, bring me a cloak so that I won't have to be cold at night. He goes on and he says, Alexander the coppersmith, verse 14, did me much harm. He says, I'm cold and all my friends have left me. In fact, he says in verse 16, at my first defense, no one supported me, but all departed from me. But look at his attitude. Even with all that rejection, he says in the verse 16, may it not be counted against them. In other words, he didn't want to enter heaven with an unforgiving spirit. In fact, he goes on and he says, verse 17, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me in order that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the lion's mouth. He says, if the Lord was with me before, even though they're getting ready to chop off my head, he ain't going to leave me now. Somebody ought to hear something in that. The question is only, is the Lord with me? He says, if the Lord stood by me before, the lion's mouth was Nero. Nero tried to kill him before, but couldn't do it. He says, the Lord was with me when Nero was after me before, and now that Nero's got me, the Lord's not going to leave me. I am secure in him. In fact, he says, the Lord, verse 18, will deliver me from every evil deed and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. God's not going to let anything happen to me or you outside of his will. And if he does let something happen, it's because it's time to go to heaven. By the way, I hope you know that the only time God stops meeting your need is when it's time to take you home. Up until that time, he will deliver you from all evil. He will be the final say-so. It won't be the job that's the final say-so. It won't be the economy that's the final say-so. The Lord is the final say-so for your life. So he says, I'm ready. The hourglass is turned over and it's running down. It's not only running down on Paul. He just knew it. Paul then, in anticipation of his entrance into heaven, looks back on his life. And he makes three of the most profound statements in all of the Bible. He says, number one, I have fought the good fight. I have fought the good fight. I don't know if you've learned this yet, but the Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground. If you don't have any scars for being a Christian, you're not a good one. If you can't show any cuts or bruises for following Jesus Christ, you ain't been in a fight. And if you ain't been in a fight, then you haven't been living the Christian life. Because the Bible is clear, we have a spiritual enemy who is out to destroy us, which means you got to fight. If you've not had to fight against sin in your life, you aren't living the Christian life. If you don't have to fight against the devil, you aren't living the Christian life. And the only reason that you don't have to fight against him is he knows he doesn't have to waste any time or punches on you. He says, I have fought a good fight. This is an athletic picture of a guy leaving a boxing ring or a wrestling match or some kind of sporting events, all bruised and tattered and torn, and his jersey is all bloodied. And he can say one thing. He says, I left it all on the field. I didn't have anything left. I gave it my all. Here's my question. Have you given Christ your all? Do you have any scars to show? Not because you're looking for a fight. It's just they will find you if you're living for Christ. Some of you have had fights on your job this year simply because you tried to be Christian. Some of you have had fights in your homes this year simply because you tried to be Christian. You've had fights in your circumstances simply because you've tried to be Christian. Paul says, I fought the good fight. Now, I like the word good because every fight isn't a good one. The Greek word good means noble. Or to put it another way, I only fight fights that are worth fighting. Every fight's not a good one. See, a lot of us are fighting, but we're fighting the wrong battles. We're not fighting a good fight. We're fighting a bad fight. That is, we're wrestling with stuff we shouldn't be spending time on. We're dealing with folk we shouldn't be dealing with. We're hanging out wrestling with stuff we shouldn't even be in the vicinity of. Talking about I'm running for Jesus. I'm fighting for Jesus. He says, no, I fought the good fight. That is, I fought battles that were worth fighting. If you're getting scarred up fighting for your family, that's a good fight. If you're getting scarred up fighting for your children, fighting for your reputation, fighting for your integrity, fighting for your decency, fighting for your future, trying to make sure you're calling, that's a good fight. If you're getting up fussing because that's what you did all your life, that's not a good fight. Paul says, I fought a good fight. That is, I fought fights worth fighting. I picked my battles. And I fought a good fight. So the question is, are you spending your time and are you spending your energy wrestling with things that matter? Time is too short. It's too uncertain. I could be dead tomorrow. You could be dead tomorrow. Don't fight over stuff not worth dying over. Paul said, I didn't waste my time with stuff that didn't matter. He then says, I finished my course. The Bible says that the race is not given to the swift, nor is the race given to the strong, but it is given to those who endure to the end. Your goal in life is to finish well. Most people who go into marathons don't go in them to win, they just go in them to finish. In Paul's life, there were no unfinished symphonies. Nothing that was not completed. He didn't die wondering, were there things left to do? There was no sense of incompleteness. He says, I have finished my purpose for being, the course that God has set for me. Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I have a plan for you. It's a plan that's not evil. It's a plan for your welfare. To bring you a blessing, to bring you hope. God has a plan for you. Stop living on everybody else's agenda and find out what his plan is for you. He says, I knew what God wanted me to do, and that's what I did. And I didn't let folk take me off course. I hope you know people will take you off course. They're called detours. Things that get you off course so that you don't fulfill your calling, fulfill your plan. And they may not all be bad things. They may be good things. They're just not for you. You must ask this question about everything you do next year. And that is, will this further where God wants me to go? And even if it's a good thing, if it's not helping you get where God wants you to go, it becomes a bad thing. Because it's not fulfilling your calling or fulfilling your course. He says, I have finished my course. I finished this race. I did not start and not finish. I was not wandering, meandering. In fact, Hebrews 12:1 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. I like that. Author means originator or starter. Finisher means completer. God will get you started and take you to the finish line. But he says your focus has got to be on me. If your focus is on people, it's okay to get advice from people, but all people can give you is what they think. The only one who can be God in your life is guess who? God. He's the only one who can tell you for sure and solidify it in your soul what he wants you to do, to be, to become, and rivet that in your being. He's the only one. So you go in his presence and you don't let him go until he shows you why you are here. A charge to keep I have, and a God to glorify. He says, I'm finished. Peter was worried about John. God told Peter about what was going to happen with his life. He said, well, what about him? He said, what about him? John, I don't hear you saying nothing about John. Guess what Jesus said? Jesus said, what is it to you? Why are you getting in his business? You're going to have enough to fulfill my calling for you. Don't take on somebody else's calling. And a few of us next year need to get out of other folks' business. Because the more time you spend on their calling, the more time you're going to miss yours. He said, Peter, it's none of your business what I'm going to do with John. You just go about and do what I told you to do. None of your business. Jesus had the nerve to tell folks it's none of your business. When it comes to my plan for your life. He says, I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith. You know, the things you keep in your home are the things you treasure. The more valuable it is, the more you keep it. In fact, we keep things for generations because we treasure them. Heirlooms that come down from parents or grandparents. He says, I've kept the faith. The faith is that body of truth and him living up to it that had been passed down. We must value the faith if we're going to keep it, protect it as a treasure. It meant he was going to compete in the race according to the rules. He didn't throw in the towel when the going got tough. He didn't walk away from the Lord. Everybody wants the Lord when their ship's coming in. Folk don't have time for the Lord when things are going rough. The test of how serious you are is when you don't hear from God. And he's silent and you don't know what he's doing. Do you love him because you love him, or do you love him because you're getting something? That was the Job question, you know. The devil said, Job's only serving you because you're giving him something. You stop giving him stuff, he's not going to serve you anymore. He's serving you for what a lot of people are offering today. He's serving you because you're going to make him prosper. He's serving you because you're a health and wealth God. He's serving you because you're a prosperity God. He's serving you because you're going to increase his bank account, give him a bigger house, give him a nicer car, give him a finer wardrobe. You take all your blessings from him. He won't serve you no more. What did God say? He said, go ahead and touch him. Take it all away. The next time somebody tell you God guarantees you prosperity, you tell them, but God told Satan to tell Job, take it all away. Do you know that God will take it away sometimes to test you? He'll take it away to test you. Now, he'll bless you, but he'll also take it sometimes to see who you love. But Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's when you praise him in a bad year. It's when you praise him and the prayer hasn't been answered yet. It's when you praise him and you don't know what to do. It's when you praise him and things are still going south. It's when you praise him and you're not getting it when you want it, like you want it, how you want it, and he's still God and still worthy to be praised. Then you know what you got is the real deal. Oh, by the way, God didn't forget Job. The end of his life was greater than the beginning. And then he gives this final word in verse 8. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Please don't miss those first three words. In the what? In the what? Oh, you didn't hear that. In the what? You know what that means? When it's over, it's not over. In the future, after they cut my head off and they're going to declare me to be dead, then something is waiting for me. I did speak at Brooklyn Tabernacle and they asked me to speak on gambling, and he was right. My opening line was, it's not a sin to gamble. Anybody who's a Christian worth their salt gambles. You banking that this Bible is true? You're taking a gamble. You banking that what it says about Jesus is right? Nobody has seen Jesus get up out the grave. You taking a risk. To trust Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and eternal salvation is the greatest gamble you can possibly make, because what you're saying is, my works can't do it. I'm going to risk my eternal. You know what I'm doing? I am risking my eternal destiny on the finished work of somebody I've never met. You know that's what I'm doing? I'm taking a calculated risk that 2,000 years ago that God did send his son. His name was Jesus Christ. He lived the perfect life. He died on the cross in my place for my sin. Bodily rose from the dead. 40 days later ascended up into heaven. It's preparing a place for me. It's coming back again. And I have staked my eternal destiny on it. That's called a gamble. I have never met the man physically. So, yeah, we take risks. The issue is not whether you gamble or not. It's what kind of gambling do you do? Some of us have a lot more confidence in the lottery than we do in Jesus Christ. But that's another sermon for another day. He said, in the future is laid up for me the crown of rightness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. But then he brings you and me into the equation, he says, and not only to me, but also to all of those who love his appearing. Now here's the question. The question is this. If Jesus were to tell you that he's coming back tomorrow to take you home, are you ready? That's the question. If he said tomorrow is your last day, are you ready? Can you say, I am finished? Or are there things still left undone? The bad news is it could happen tomorrow. The good news is if it doesn't, you've got another day to get it together. I've been to many a football game where the winning team started out losing. And the losing team started out winning. Because only the score at the end of the game matters. Did you hear that? You say, I've been a loser all my life, but the game ain't over. The good news is the game's not over. You say, how do you know the game's not over? Because you're still sitting here. That means there's still room left in this quarter for you. Now, I don't know how much time for you. You don't know how much time for me. But evidently, some time is left because we haven't gone home yet. And do you know that if you make a hard enough run in the last quarter, you can overcome mess you made in the first quarter? Some of us have messed up first halves of the ball game of our Christian lives. We fumbled, threw interceptions, missed tackles, and ran the wrong way. Some of us scored points for the other team. Some of us shot and missed the rim. Backboard. We just were a mess. The good news is there's still time. know what your situation is right now. I don't know what the good was last year or the years before, the bad or the ugly, but I know there's still room left in your quarter. Now, you might have to do a two-minute drill. In other words, a two-minute drill means you're running out of time. Two-minute drill means you don't have a lot of time left. You don't have a lot of time to do all that needs to get done. You got too many first downs to get. In other words, every pass in 2 minutes has got to be for a first down. Especially when you didn't run out of timeouts, and some of us have used up all our timeouts. There's no more timeouts left. We can't stop play no longer. We can't turn the clock back. So that means every pass now has to be for a first down. Every shot has to be in the right direction. And then you got to do onside kicks to get the ball back. But you do whatever you got to do. Because why? Because you only have a few minutes left and you want to finish strong. Samson had an up and down life, but he finished strong. He said, Lord, even though I messed up my life, even though I made mistakes, give me one more time to show what God can do through a man fully committed to him. And the Bible says, and God at the end of Samson's life did more than he ever did all during Samson's life. Did you know you can finish well? Have you ever seen a runner running a race and it's going and the runner is running hard and he makes up time that he lost early on? God is inviting you to finish strong, to come back in next year and tell us, let me let you know about the ground I made up. Yeah, I made some mistakes, but I sprinted this year and I've made up some ground. We want to finish next year strong.
Well, I hope you're motivated. I hope you're motivated to kick in the gear, that big gear, and get into this new year with the attitude that I don't want to just finish this new year. I want to finish it with, I want to give it all I've got. I want to leave it all on the field. I want to maximize the life that God has given me this year. You know, we would love to minister you in a special way by giving you the Best of Tony Evans 2015, 12 messages that are messages that we really think will resonate with you and encourage you for a gift of any amount. Any generous support you can provide us, we will provide you with these 12 messages as a way of saying thank you for coming alongside and befriending this ministry. You know, this ministry is doing so much on radio, television, the internet, and training leaders in training churches how to adopt schools and addressing the issues of our culture and calling the church to unity. We're doing all of that through the Urban Alternative, and we need your help to do it and to do it well. So thank you for your generous support. You can call us 1-800-800-3222 or log on to TonyEvans.org. Thank you for your generous support. God bless you. We'll look forward to seeing you next week.